Certainly good to see everyone this morning. I thought I would ask everyone to stand again with me here this morning, please. And I thought we'd do something here this morning that we've been doing for a while. And I thought we would say, praise the Lord, glory, amen. And then let's give the Lord a round of applause this morning in a praise offering. So on three, let's say, praise the Lord, glory, amen. And then we'll give the Lord a round of a praise offering. So, one, two, three. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Amen. Right. You may be seated. Again, I want to thank you for being here. And we are certainly glad to see everyone. As I've been thinking about some things and thinking about seeing God and knowing the presence of God, this really has nothing to do with the message, but I remember something that I said last week, and what I said last week was this: God can be hidden in plain sight, and he's there, it's just we fail to realize that he's here. So, as the pastor of this church, I just want you to know that I do my best to try to see God in all situations, and as I walk around and visit people, visit different things, watch different things going on, I really do see God very active and at work in this congregation, and I'm so grateful for that. Today we're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper and how you can't love without giving. So we're going to be in the book of Ruth, and we're also going to be in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 32. And as we've been looking in the Old Testament, considering types or principles in the Old Testament that give pictures of New Testament reality, and concerning communion especially. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us, and here's where I want us to think about. He says this in the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 23. For what I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you. Now, here he is telling this to us about communion. What he received from the Lord about the Lord's Supper, he's giving right back to us. And communion is this picture, and we're going to be looking at the elements today as we ponder some things and think about some things. As we look at these elements, they're a picture of what Christ has done for us, and more importantly, what he has given to us. God gave, that prompted Paul and I to give. And as I thought about some things this week, I thought, you know, God has given so much to each and one of you as well as myself, and that should prompt us to be willing to give back. So here's what as I thought about these things, and this is more conversational than anything, I thought about the times in my life that I was forced to give. You know, there's been times I've been forced to give something. Didn't really want to give it, but because of saving face, because of people looking or whatever the case may be, I just gave. I gave out of peer pressure. A few years back, Larry Irwin, he was my supervisor a few years back at the Kroger Company. And Brother Larry, you may remember this. It was a joke among the supervisors that at the Kroger Company, the supervision, their union dues was paying to the United Way. And I know that a lot of the supervisors didn't want to give to the United Way, but their hands were twisted and bound behind their back to give to the United Way. And because being a Kroger supervisor, you had to give to the United Way. And they would joke that it's their union dues. But how many times in our life do we really give, and we give sort of, okay, I got to. That's something I have to do. And as I thought about that, my mind really raced to this thought, and I believe the Holy Spirit planted it there. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. If you love, you're going to give. That's one of the object lessons that we see in communion. You can't love without giving. God gave. It's just a natural outflow of love. When we love, we are going to give, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situations. We give our time, we give our attention, we give our devotion to the ones we love. Well, let's be really clear about it here. In John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's a picture of unconditional love that God has for each and every human being that's ever been born. It is an outpouring of His grace and His outpouring of His mercy. So let's say this together. Humor me this morning. Let's say this together. You can't give without loving. On three. One, two, three. You can't give without loving. Well, today we're going to consider in the Old Testament just a type of Christ, a man that is in the genealogy of Christ. His name is Boaz. And Boaz is a very interesting person. The book of Ruth records the story of Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, and some other folks as well. And Ruth is married to one of the sons of Naomi, and that son dies and leaves her a widow and also leaves her without any children to do anything for her. And I want you to understand, from culturally, you know, it's a little bit different today, but back in that day, to be left without children, to be left as a widow, you had very little chance of climbing out of that circumstances. It is you and I today, by the way. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us have any hope of climbing out of the circumstances that we're in. 13 times in the book of Ruth, in just the four short chapters, the idea of kinsman redeemer appears in that book. And it's a picture of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was near us. He was close to us. He was the one who could come and redeem us. He was next of kin, and only a next of kin could redeem somebody out of the poverty that they were in. I want you to know that you have a brother, you have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He came to redeem you out of the poverty-stricken state that you're in. Now, we're going to look just at three brief things today about Boaz's love towards Ruth. And, of course, these things are romanticized, and as well they should. There's nothing wrong with romantic love, but it should not become an idol within our life. Love, and romanticized in the right way, is a great thing, but it can never take the place of God. So Ruth gives us, in the book of Ruth, it gives us how Christ gives those same things. And here's the first one. And the first one is compassion. If you look at the second chapter, verse 8, it tells us this. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." Now, the picture here is given to us that Boaz is so aware of Ruth's situation. He's so attuned to what's going on in her life that he's willing to make sure that her needs are met specifically. He's telling her, listen, don't go anywhere else to get your needs met. I'm going to meet your needs. I want us to understand, as we look at these elements today, they tell us something. They tell us inquisitively that God has met our needs through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He was beaten and He was bruised for our sin. He bled for our sin. And those are amazing things to think about. And what He's saying to us, when we take this is so important, friend. When we take this cup, the fruit of the vine, when we take this small wafer, we are saying symbolically, well, we're not going anywhere else to meet our needs. God has met our needs. I have salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. I don't have it in that grape juice this morning. I don't have it in that wafer this morning. I have it in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it symbolizes what He has done for me today. Now, it also says in the 15th verse, and this is our next point here in that second chapter, about supplies. And she rose up to glean. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, hey, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Now, Boaz is making sure that she has this fresh supply. God always goes beyond just our basic needs, my friend. And He tells the guys around Him, say, look, I want her to go anywhere that she needs to go to get what she needs to have. The poor were allowed to go in after the owner had reaped in the field. What Boaz is saying here, I want her to go in before you even have touched the field. He instructs his workers to allow her full access to what has already not been harvested yet. And because of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have some wonderful supplies that are accessible to us. Do you know that we have supplies in His righteousness? It's not our righteousness. Brother Ken and I were talking about some things about righteousness this morning. And I appreciated his insight about from James, where it says, the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And his insight is the fact that Jesus Christ is that righteous man. It availeth much to him because we have nothing righteous about us. It is his righteousness that is imputed to us. The fact of it is that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, Paul writes this: he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the way that God supplies us righteousness. It is his righteousness, because our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, and Christ had to be made sin for us to be made fit for the kingdom of God. But you know, also, we have access to his wisdom and his strength. That's the supply that's given to us. You know, what I do today, what's done across this country, across this world on Sundays and other days as well, it appears as foolishness. I simply preach a dead guy that's come back to life that died for somebody's sins other than himself. That's exactly what I'm preaching today. We preach Christ and him crucified. For many people, it's a stumbling block. It's called that toward the Jews. To others who are so learned and so skillful of mind, they say, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, those who are willing to believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Why is that? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man, and the weakness of God is stronger than the strongest man. So we have access to something that's simply unbelievable. It goes beyond human intelligence. It goes beyond human strength. We have access. He supplies to us his wisdom, his strength. And ultimately, another thing is guidance. You know, God does guide us. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out where he wants us to go, because we've got our own little heart's desire and a thing. You know, I'd really like to do that. And God knows exactly that you're not smart enough to do that, or if you're smart enough to do that. And we get into arguments with God and we say, oh, you know, God, I'm going to, you know, I'll do this because I really would like to do this. And ultimately, it never really works out. But his sheep, if we really contemplate on it, his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow me. Ultimately, the best thing for any of us, as we look at these elements today, we're simply saying we're following him. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. We get our own self mixed up in that, and let's do our best to put ourselves away from that and really be led of him. And the third thing this morning is assurance. Let's go to the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 10. I love what happens here in the book of Ruth. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are my witness this day that I brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all Mahon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are the witnesses this day. Let's understand the picture here. Without Boaz, Ruth wasn't going anywhere. Now that's true for us as well. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all doomed. She was doomed without him because she didn't have an offspring. She certainly wasn't going to live forever. In a sense, she was a dead person walking. Now today, in this congregation, there may be those who have refused to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you've compartmentalized. Well, I'll go to church on this day, and then the rest of the days, I'm going to live like whatever. It really has not worked that way, my friend. In a sense, you are a dead person walking. I love what this guy does here. He does something that's pretty miraculous when you think about it. He's making sure that everyone knows who Ruth belongs to. Can I tell you something? If you're following Christ, you're loving him, he's loving you, you're trusting him, he's trusting you, do you know what? He's going to make ever sure that other people know that you belong to him. He's going to have his hand upon you, he's going to have his mark upon you. The body and the blood does so much more for us than what we realized. We were doomed. We were dead men walking. But Jesus Christ has changed that because of his gift of love and his willingness to give. Let me read something to you from John, the 10th chapter, verse 28 through 30. And I give them eternal life. Well, who's them? That's you and I if we've trusted him. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Today, as we look at these elements, I want you to understand, for Christ coming to earth, my friend, it wasn't a step up for him. It was really a step down for him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, he was made a little lower than the angels. You know, he took a step down. Here's something we need to understand. You can't give without loving, and when you give something, it's going to cost you something. His love cost him something. It cost him eternity, to leave eternity sinless, to enter into man's present state, and to take on the sin of the world. But I want us to understand that there's nothing. If you've trusted him, you're receiving these elements today, and you're not trusting that these elements are putting you into heaven, you're not trusting your baptism to putting you in heaven, you're trusting a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is putting you there, I want you to hear some words of comfort. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty in life. But Paul writes in the great, great chapter of Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, what can separate you? Nothing. He goes on to say, shall tribulation? That word tribulation means literally squeezing the life out of you. Shall distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Or any of these things? Can any of these things separate you from the love of Christ? So the picture here of this kinsman redeemer is one who relates to us. Jesus Christ understands you. He knows what it's like to be a man. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be discouraged. He knows what it's like to have people forsake you. And yet, he still loves you. He still cares for you. Ruth was moved from widowhood, from poverty, to a marriage and wealth. For us here today, because of our kinsman redeemer, we are moved from poverty. We're moved from death unto life. Nothing can separate us. In our earthly marriages, there are things that will separate us, death being one of those things. But nothing, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And he will supply your needs according to his riches and his glory. So today, here are the challenges. They're going to be up on the screen. And we're going to have a verse or two of invitation. And let's all stand. Now, friends, look internally in your heart right now. I want you to ask yourself, have I accepted God's gift of love? Don't wait to do it another day. Do it today. Accept his gift of love. Ask yourself, have I done that? And if you've done that, let me ask, right now, is it really showing in your life? What I've received from the Lord, here's the second thing, do I freely give to others? Paul was given, Paul gave. We're given, we should give as well. So I'm going to step down to the altar here this morning. I'm going to have a word of prayer for not only the rest of this communion stuff, but for this invitation. If you feel like you want to pray today, you come forward. If you need a counselor to speak or pray with you, we certainly can arrange that. But however God's leading you today, maybe you have some things you want to place on this altar today. You do that at this time. This is the time to do that before we go into communion service and participate as a body of Christ in this. So go ahead and sing, and anybody wants to pray, please come forward at this time.